John chapter 19, verse 30. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Now let's read together, please. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Father, thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for coming and dying on the cross so that we could have life and have it more abundantly. God, work in our hearts today from this passage. Use it to help us meet our needs, convict us, whatever needs to be done in our lives. You know as an individual what we need. So please accomplish that. And Father, for that to be accomplished, we need you to anoint our pastor with thy Holy Spirit power. Use him to help us today. And Father, one last thing. If there's somebody in this room this morning that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior from their sin, I pray before they leave this room, they would settle that today. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. You may be seated.
While you're being seated, please take your cell phone out, hand it to an 8-year-old and ask him to turn it off for you so it will not go off during our service. We'd appreciate that very much. Help us there, please. Do make sure it is turned off or turned to vibrate. I ask you to sit still and listen now. It is finished. Jesus will make 7 statements from the cross. Now you have to understand, now he is in the height of the most incredible human suffering a person could endure. They beat him until his ribs were sticking out of his rib cage, tore the flesh from his body, stripped him naked and nailed him to a cross like a criminal. He has to pull himself up for every breath that he takes because they have bent the knees, crossed the ankles, and driven a spike through his ankles and then through his hands, and he hangs by the weight of his body. He'll make 7 statements from the cross. The last one is, "It is finished." It comes from an expression we even still use today. When you go to purchase something and you buy it, on the receipt, they'll stamp or write, "Paid in full." And that's what "it is finished" means. It comes from a Greek word, telestai. It is finished. Paid in full. Jesus is about to give his life. He was not murdered. They didn't kill him. He gave his life because he is paying the debt we owe to God for our sins. Now I want you to hear me very carefully this morning. When he says "it is finished," here's what it means. It is finished. The full debt for sin has now been paid. That is why, dear friend, that is why there is no salvation in any other. Acts 4:12, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved," because the debt is paid. You can't get in a baptistry and get saved. We have folks baptized this morning. No one is getting saved. They're getting baptized because they've been saved. Churches cannot save you. Any church that tells you you have to be a part of them to go to heaven is lying to you and disparaging what Jesus did on the cross, because it is finished. The debt is paid. You can't add to this debt. You can't take away from that because it's done, because someone else has paid the debt for you. By the way, that's why, my dear friend, this morning, you need to very carefully look at your salvation, what you believe is going to get you to heaven. And if it has anything, listen now, anything added to or taken from what Jesus did on the cross for your salvation, you do not have salvation. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." We believe in church, so I think you ought to go to church. But listen very carefully. Nobody's church, including this one, can get you to heaven. Only Jesus can do that. And here is why. Because it is finished. The debt is paid. He's done that for you now. Now listen, friend, listen. So it is paid, and it is telestai, paid in full. When they went to the marketplaces in those days and they would see an item that they wanted to purchase, they'd go to the purveyor, they'd go to the person that had it, and they'd negotiate the price We don't do that much here in America unless it's a garage sale and then they want to argue over 25 cent pair of underwear. You know, just take it. My wife won't let me do garage sales because I'll give it all the way. You put a quarter on it. You took the time to write a quarter on a thing and stick it on there and they go, will you take 50? Just take it. I already wasted too much time on that thing. Just take it. But in most places you go in the world today, you barter. And it's a lot of fun. I like to do that. Been places in this world where you go to the marketplace and you don't just pay what they ask. It's almost, in some cultures, it's an insult to pay what they've asked. They want to negotiate with you. So you start bartering with them about the price of it. And you go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth until you reach the price. Well, in the marketplace in those days when they bartered over something and then it came down to the final price and the seller agreed with the buyer and the buyer agreed with the seller, the price was established. Once the money was exchanged and the item was in hand, they shook hands and the buyer said, "Telestai." Not the seller, the buyer did. Paid for it. It's mine. I have purchased it. It is finished. There'll be no more negotiations. Listen, there will be no more talking about price because it's paid. I have paid the price. Telestai, paid in full. Those last three words Jesus said on the cross, my friend, guarantees that anyone who comes to God trusting Christ as their only hope of salvation will have salvation because Jesus paid it all to him I owe. But that also means this, the debt is paid. You don't accept Christ and later on try to work it out. Well, I'm trusting the Lord, but if you don't live right, you lose it. No, the debt is paid. It is finished. So that's why we have to get folks to understand something. The salvation of the believer and the security of the believer are the same doctrine because Jesus paid the debt. Are we clear? So there is no salvation, and then you got to work it out. Hold thou faithful to the end, do right, do good. Yeah, but what happens if you sin after you're a Christian? First of all, there's no if. The unfortunate thing is we will. That's not an excuse, and that's not a license. But the issue is not what did you do or what do you do. The issue is this. Did he finish the work on the cross? Did he pay the debt? Then it is finished. People who look at us who believe in eternal security, we believe that, by the way, because it's in the Bible. Ephesians chapter 1, Ephesians chapter 4, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5, kept by the power of God, ready to be. It's all over the scriptures now. When Noah and his family came into the ark, God sealed them in that ark. They didn't close the door, God did. And God sealed it with his. It's all through the Bible. Saved, secured, wonderful. Those who look at us say, well, then if you believe that, you could just go out and do anything you want to. First of all, if you're saved, you wouldn't want to go out and do that. Secondly, if you did, you have a heavenly father who'd whack you like a red-headed stepchild if you did. But I did not get in because I paid a debt. I got in because he paid the debt for me. And by the way, 2,000 years ago, how much of your sin was in the future? You weren't even born yet, and he already paid the debt in full. For sin you have not even committed yet. We're secure not because of who we are. We're secure because of what Jesus did. It is finished. Now then, you better check your salvation this morning. Look at me. You got works anywhere as a part of your salvation, you do not have biblical salvation. You do not. You can't add to that and you cannot take away from it without trotting underfoot the blood of the covenant. You're walking all over the blood Jesus shed. You're stepping over a bloody cross, walking past an empty tomb and saying, that's not good enough, I got to do better. No, you don't. It is finished. Now then, that's not the sermon this morning. You thought you were getting out early, didn't you? Too bad. No, it is finished. But the work of Christ was not finished. Now the work for salvation's debt was paid. No question. Am I clear about that this morning? When I say the work of Christ was not finished, I'm not saying there's something else that needed to be done to pay your sin debt. That was done. It is finished, paid in full, debt paid. But the work of Christ wasn't finished yet. First of all, there was still the work of resurrection for you. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 this morning, please, in your Bibles very quickly now. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. See, when Jesus died after he dismissed his spirit and he said it is finished, Your sin debt was paid for. The potential, the opportunity for forgiveness was provided for you by the death of Jesus Christ on the cross for your sins. But the work of salvation for you that needed to be completed wasn't done yet. There still needed to be a resurrection. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, take your Bibles, turn there. By the way, always come to church with a Bible. If you need one, we'll give you one. It's quite all right. Maybe some came and didn't have a Bible with them this morning. But bring one, get one. We'll give you one if you need one. But always turn and look in the Scripture. Now, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God, okay? Look at verse 1, 1 Corinthians 15. More of the brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also you've received, wherein you stand, verse 2, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For he's going to tell you what the gospel is. Verse 3, I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Verse 4, number 2 part of the gospel, and that he was buried. Number 3, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. So the gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. When Jesus said, it is finished on the cross, sin debt paid in full. But there was still one more thing that needed to be taken place. And that is Jesus needed to rise from the dead after 3 days and three nights. See, people, look at me. We need to be careful to understand that the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So I believe Jesus died for me, Pastor Johnson, and paid for my sins. Absolutely right. But better than believe that, you need to trust that as your hope. That's where the faith of salvation takes place. You trust the payment that Jesus made. But you also must believe he rose for you. See, resurrection from the grave is where you have eternal life and salvation. Sin debt paid, that's the cross. Resurrection, empty tomb, that's eternal life. But as many as received him, to them gave him power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. The Bible says that God has written unto us that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have, oh, everlasting life. Not life until you do better, not life until you hold out, not life until you get baptized. You believe on Christ for salvation, you have everlasting life. But why do you have it? Because Jesus rose from the dead. So he dies on the cross and he dismisses his spirit. He gives his life. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. But without an empty tomb and a resurrection, we don't have eternal life. So the work of paying my sin debt was done at the cross. His resurrection is why you and I have eternal life if you're trusting Christ as your Savior. Now, friend, look at me. I'm not trying to make salvation complicated. I'm not trying to get you to hyperextend yourself thinking about whether or not, well, did I understand everything when I got saved? Look at me. If you realized you were lost and you trust because of sin, you trusted Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and God the Son as your Savior, and you asked him to save you, that saves a soul. It was years ago, way back at the very beginning of our church. A family came to our church, was there very faithfully for about a month or so, and I got to go by and finally get to see them. And I was talking with the husband, and I asked him, I said, Ray, are you a Christian man? He goes, oh, yes. And I said, tell me about your salvation. He goes, well, here's my problem, Pastor. I believe in Jesus Christ, but I don't believe in the resurrection. The church that I went to, he said, did not believe in a bodily resurrection of the Savior. He goes, so am I a Christian? I said, no, sir, then you're not. See, look at me. It's not that you have to know everything in the Bible to be saved. You can't deny anything about Christ and be saved. And I said, Ray, well, what is it that prevents you from believing the resurrection of Christ? He goes, I was just told it wasn't so, that he just died and went to the grave and that the resurrection was invented by the church. So what I did was I went to the last of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Just read him the passage about the resurrection. I said, the Bible says he did. Will you believe that? He goes, yes. And he trusted Christ. After going to church all these years. Here's the point this morning. When he said it is finished, the work of Christ was not finished. He had to rise from the dead. You have this morning, my friend, look at me. If you have Christ as your Savior this morning, you serve a risen Savior. He's alive this morning. I can take you to Mecca and show you the beef jerky body of the great prophet Muhammad. He's dead. He died, he's dead. They go there and they circle that place in Mecca and Iraq, Mecca and Saudi Arabia. They circle that place once a year in a great pilgrimage. Tens of thousands of them come. I've seen it before. It's an impressive sight. They're circling the body of a dead hero. I can't take you to Jesus' body today. You know why? Because he's in it and he's in heaven and he's alive. It is finished. Sin debt paid. But the work of Christ was not finished. Also, I want you to understand something else. After his resurrection, the work of Christ continued. There were still some things that Jesus needed to do. One of them is the unfinished work of Christ today is that he intercedes for you. Hebrews 7:25 says, "Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them." 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5 says, "For there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus." Did you know Jesus is still in his physical body in heaven? Some deny that or take that to mean that Jesus never was God. No, he was God in human flesh. But even after the resurrection, he did not lay aside the limitation of humanity. He is in heaven right now in a body just like this, human body. It has scars in it from the cross. You and I get to heaven, there'll be one person in heaven that bears scars on their body, just one, and it'll be Jesus. Thorn scars on his brow, nail prints in his hands and in his feet. And he is today in the body, the man Christ Jesus. But more important than that, he is today interceding for you. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Why? Because we have a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. But as all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin, then we can come boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy, find grace to help in time of need. Jesus is not just sitting in heaven, friend. You know what he's doing? He's praying for you. That's a great old song, isn't it? Someone is praying for you. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. He's a friend who always knows and understands. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus, and you'll know him by the nail prints in his hands. His work is not finished. The work of the cross, finished. The work of the empty tomb, completed. The work of Christ, still going on today. For 2,000 years, he has carried the needs of God's people to the God of heaven, the Father. He intercedes for us. Sometimes they make it sound like Jesus is standing between the Father saying, "Don't get him, God, don't get him." I don't believe that's the case. I just believe he who walked this earth like us, tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin, sinless now. But he knew what rejection was like. He knew what it's like to have a broken heart. He knew what it was like to have difficulties within his own family. He knew what it was like. He knew what it was like to be a human being on this planet. Our great Heavenly Father today knows us, loves us, cares for us, but he cannot identify with the humanity of man. But Jesus is there and he intercedes for us today. I feel sorry for these places I have been in the world that worship gods and idols that are not real. They pray to a deity that does not exist, to ask for help that he cannot give them or it cannot give them because he's not real. There is no time of my day, no minute in my 24 hours that I do not have an intercessor in heaven who prays for me and for you. His work is not finished. The intercessory work of Christ. The unfinished work of Christ also is Christ and his coming for you. So he's not done yet. There's one more thing he needs to do. He needs to come and get us. Go to Acts chapter 1 very quickly this morning. I don't mean to keep you from Hometown Buffet. Let me just get you to this very quickly, if I may. Acts chapter 1. You don't want to get between Baptist and lunch. You really don't. It's been years now since Acts 1, please, verse 9. It's been years now since I've been asked to come and preach a Valentine's dinner or one of these things. I think they quit doing them. We did. Most worthless thing on the planet is preach to a bunch of Baptists that just pigged out and sit down and look at you. You can do anything you want. Preach anything you want. They're not listening. Their ears are foggy. They can't even see across the table from you anymore. So what's that got to do with Acts 1 and 9? Nothing. I was giving you something until you found it. Look at Acts chapter 1 and verse number 9. Jesus has risen from the grave. He's met with his disciples. In verse 8, he gives them the great commission of the book of Acts. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. Look at verse 9 of Acts 1. When he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Verse 10, and while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. Two angels stood beside him while they watched Jesus go to the clouds. And they were marveling at that sight once again. And then the angel stood by him and said, why do you keep looking up? He's coming back. This same Jesus, that Jesus, the one who died on the cross, the one who walked among you and died on the cross and went to the grave and rose again and appeared to you in over 500 at one time, that same Jesus is coming back again. So go on and do what you need to do. But don't ever forget, he is coming again. See, the work of Christ is not finished. He made us a promise. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go there, not here, there. Heaven is not on earth. I'm sorry, as close as Cracker Barrel can get you. It's not on earth. For you Yankees, you don't even know what that is. It's a really great restaurant. But anyhow, people say, well, I believe heaven's on earth. You got a lousy heaven. You do. Right now, our area is more like purgatory. Everything's burning up. But the truth of the matter is, he said, I go there, not here, there, to prepare a place for you. And here it is, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Now, he's made us this promise. He went to the cross and paid our sin debt. He rose from the grave and gave us eternal life. If our faith and trust is in Christ alone for salvation, we have that, my friend. You have forgiveness. You have eternal life. It's all good. But he's still not done yet. He intercedes for us day and night, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. When we fail, he'll pick us up. When we sin, if we confess our sins, he will guarantee us forgiveness. And not restoration of salvation, but restoration of fellowship. He walks beside us. He intercedes for us. Oh, there's times when God meets a need, and we didn't even ask for it because we have an intercessor who sees that need in our lives. Oh, wonderful Savior this morning. And when you get your chin down and your lips hanging out so bad you're picking up carpet fuzz, hear me. He's coming again because his work's not done yet to receive us unto himself, that where he is, there he may be also. I heard a preacher years ago talking about he and his little brother went into a little town. They lived out in West Virginia in the mountains there, and they went into a little town. It was late in the afternoon when they went into town, and he had his little pesky little brother with him. When they got in town, he told his little brother, I'm going to the store, but you're not going to go with me. You stand right here by this lamppost, and you wait for me. When I come back, I'll come and get you. And the preacher said, I got looking in the store and looking in this store and doing a few things. I realized it started to get dark. I forgot all about my little brother, and I just took off and went home. He said, I got almost home, and it dawned on me. I forgot my little brother. I told him to stand by that lamppost and wait for me, and I left him. My parents are going to kill me. He turned around and ran back to town through the dark hills of West Virginia. If you've ever been to West Virginia, those hills are dark. You pump in the sunshine and pump out the moonshine. I mean, it's way back in there. He said, I got to running toward town thinking my little brother, oh, what in the world has happened to him? What could have happened to him? Oh, my soul. He said, I rounded the corner in our little town. We had one lamppost and one light. He said, when I turned the corner, I looked down the street. He said, I saw my little brother standing there with his hand on that lamppost. He said, I was very relieved to see him. But when I ran up to him, I said, man, why didn't you just go home? He said, you told me to wait here. You said Don't do anything till I come and get you. And don't leave until I come back and get you. I said, I'll just stand here waiting for you, brother. I don't really need to apply the illustration this morning, do I? See, but it's been 2,000 years, Pastor Johnson. You know, God's promises don't have time limitations on them. He didn't say something 2,000 years ago and, oh, well, that's what happened 2,000 years ago. Doesn't make anything to, hey, a day is 1,000 years to God and God 1,000 years is a day. Doesn't matter to him. His promises stand. And Jesus said he would come and get us. So we stand by the lamppost of his word because our elder brother is coming to get us. And he'll call us up. And wherever he'll be, that's where we'll be because he said he would. Because we have a risen Savior who's alive. Ladies and gentlemen, since he conquered sin and death and hell, I believe he could finish it up and come back and get us, don't you? Oh, yes. The unfinished work of Christ. Let's stand to our feet, please, this morning.